Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, before we start, we know that mid-January can be a bit of a depressing time, but just think about this if you need a bit of inspiration. Lionel Messi has now scored 400 La Liga goals. 400. Or it might be 399 if you're being pedantic, but the goal was given to him at the time, so it counts for us now. Point is, we are so lucky that our lifetimes have coincided with his career. And as we all know, he's so much more than a goal scorer anyway. His brilliance remains undimmed. Suitably boosted, everyone? Right, on with the show.
Hi, I'm Gaizka Mendieta, and you listen to La Liga Lowdown.
Hi, I'm Carlos Soler, and this is La Liga Lowdown.
Hi, my name is John Guidetti, and this is La Liga Lowdown.
And I'm David Garrido. Welcome along to this La Liga Lowdown mini-pod with Redis Sakharov and broadcast on SiriusXM FC 157 in North America. It is the most comprehensive roundup of Spain's top division you'll ever hear. It's right here for your enjoyment. Plenty to get through, so coming up in the next half hour. Barcelona stay 5 clear after beating Eibar at the Camp Nou. So how is Philippe Coutinho's future looking? Here's Roman.
Barcelona fans have expectations that go as high as his price tag. He's already 26 with plenty of international club and country experience, so if he wants to shine in one of the best clubs in the world, it's probably now or never.
Atleti keep up the fight with an old school 1-0 victory. Ewan's been running the rule over their displays.
Of course, Griezmann and Oblak are Atleti's two best players, but there are 11 different players who have scored for Atletico this season. They've actually only had 5 1-0 wins this season, while they've won by multiple goals on 8 occasions. They're much more fun to watch than some give them credit for.
Madrid's kids get the better of Betis, but only just, while Sevilla stutter at San Mamés, but signings are arriving. Alex assesses.
Munir is a hard worker with some great technical qualities too. He has improved a lot during his time at Alavés last season. He has sharpened his game and is coming to Sevilla ready. You could almost say that Abelardo prepared him for Pablo Machin.
Leganés and Rayo also win to boost their survival hopes, and it's all kicking off down the East Coast. Villarreal stumble and Valencia drop 2 more points at home to Valladolid. Paco, was that missed there?
Fans weren't even angry, just disappointed and sad at the end of the game. And maybe that tells its own story. And this result once again leaves Marcelino in a perilous position.
Plus, we've got your three-word verdicts as well. That's all on the way. Well, we start off with leaders Barcelona, who are on course to successfully defend their title after beating Eibar 3-0 at the Camp Nou. Now, at times, it's been almost ordinary football we've seen from the champions this season, but on Sunday evening, there were flashes of their old selves. Luis Suarez scored 2 goals and assisted the other. The first involved some excellent quick passing. Suarez hustled brilliantly for the second for Lionel Messi, his 400th in La Liga, as we've said. And the Uruguayan then took advantage of Eibar completely failing to track him from a throw-in for number 3. Now, the other significant display was from Philippe Coutinho, back in the starting lineup, full of skill, little touches, incisive passes and intelligent runs once he'd got into the game. So is this an indication that Coutinho does have a future at the Camp Nou, despite reports that Barca could listen to offers for the Brazilian? And which is the better front three for Barca? MSC with Coutinho or MSD with Ousmane Dembélé? Well, Roman Larquer is our resident culé here at La Liga Lowdown. So what do you reckon, Roman?
Since Coutinho got back from his injury, he's been quite terrible, including the recent defeat versus Levante in the Copa del Rey. So it was a surprise to see him start versus Eibar, and he delivered. Valverde has kept playing him despite his poor performances, and it looks like he's starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But he's still got a long, long way to go. Barcelona fans have expectations that go as high as his price tag. At Liverpool, he was one of the team's leaders on the pitch, and that's what we'd love to see here. Yet I don't really believe those reports talking about a possible departure. The club has a lot of hope deposited in Coutinho. Although it is true that originally he was supposed to boost our midfield with Iniesta's absence. But we've seen he's quite a different player who prefers moving near the box. So Valverde has to decide whether he wants to play Dembélé or Coutinho with Messi and Suarez. But who to pick? It's a tough call. Towards the beginning of the season, we were worried about the Frenchman's performances and watching Coutinho evolve. But now it's vice versa. But I believe Coutinho should be the more immediate bet. He's already 26 with plenty of international club and country experience. So if he wants to shine in one of the best clubs in the world, it's probably now or never.
Cheers for that, Roman. Well, Valverde said that Coutinho had incredible quality and he certainly played his part on stretching their winning run in La Liga to 6 games, 5 of those with clean sheets. And they return to the camp now on Thursday to try and overturn a 2-1 deficit in the Copa del Rey at home to Levante. After that, 2 very winnable games to the end of January in La Liga. Leganés at home, Girona away. Ernesto Valverde is managing this season very well as the very vocal fan base who constantly demand beautiful, exciting football. But Jordi Alba remains a talking point. Still no movement on his contract renewal, and the worry must be what would happen if he got injured, because Barcelona have no ready-made replacement for him. For the moment, though, it's all relatively happy families. Barca 5 points clear halfway through the season. To Atletico Madrid, who kept their incredible home form going with another win, 1-0 at home to Levante, the goal coming just before the hour, courtesy of a VAR-decided penalty scored by Antoine Griezmann. Nikola Vucevic was judged to have handballed in the area. Thomas Partey's cross hit his hand, which he was using to support himself on the ground, much to the dismay of those in the Levante dugout. In fact, Levante head coach Paco López had pointed out that, according to a circular that they received from the Technical Committee of Referees, the penalty shouldn't have been given for that very reason. The decision of the VAR had also come into play in the first half. Coque's goal ruled out because of a foul from Rodri on Enis Bardi earlier in that phase of play. So yet more VAR confusion. But despite all that, Atleti make it 12 wins in 14 unbeaten at home, and it's now 10 clean sheets this season at the Wanda Metropolitano. But how are they actually playing? Well, let's discuss this with La Liga Lowdown's Ewan McTeer. Ewan, Griezmann has scored all of Atleti's last 6 goals, and Jan Oblak is producing consistent high-level performances to keep all those clean sheet. So aren't Atleti a little too reliant on those two in particular?
I actually think the sense that they're reliant on these two has been overstated. Of course, Griezmann and Oblak are Atleti's two best players, but there are 11 different players who have scored for Atletico this season. As for Oblak, he does make some incredible saves, but it's also true that Atleti are conceding just 10.9 shots per game, the 4th fewest in the division. I think a lot of people will have seen this weekend's result on their LiveScore app and assumed that this was Atleti scraping by with a penalty and a 1-0 win. But it was far from it. This was actually one of their best performances of the season, I thought, and they could have scored several more if they'd been a little more clinical. They've actually only had 5 1-0 wins this season, while they've won by multiple goals on 8 occasions. They're much more fun to watch than some give them credit for.
Thanks, Ewan. Now, here's a question. Do we now have a 2-horse race for La Liga? After drawing away at Leganés and at home to Atletico, well, Sevilla lost 2-0 at Athletic Club to fall off the pace in the title race. And this was the day that Iñaki Williams finally decided to perform and finally score in front of his home fans. For the first goal on 23 minutes, he was played in down the left. He cut in on his right foot and unleashed an unstoppable shot. The second, he ended it himself, nipping the ball past Sergio Gomez, out sprinting the defender, rounding keeper Thomas Vatslik and calmly finishing. Two very different goals from the 24-year-old. They come more than 2 years after he'd last scored at San Mamés. He's been frustratingly inconsistent at times, but his talent is undoubted, and hopefully this will give him the confidence to kick on. And so the Athletic revolution continues under Gaizka Garitano, a 4th win in 7 games since he took over, but Sevilla's La Liga title chances have been dealt a big blow recently, 2 points taken from the last 9 on offer. Transfer-wise, both teams included new signings in their matchday squad. Ibai Gomez came on as a sub, having joined Athletic from Alaves for €4 million, while Sevilla also had Munir El Haradi on the bench and he played the last 10 minutes of this game. Well, Sevilla have signed the Barcelona forward for a cut price fee of €1 million, while they've also brought in centre-back Maximilian Werber from Ajax for around 10 times that. But how do these two fit into Pablo Machin's already competitive squad, and are they the right sort of signings for Sevilla to be making as they fight on all 3 fronts this season? Liga Lowdown's Alex Johnson can tell us.
First off, what Sevilla need in order to really be able to compete, especially on all 3 fronts, is depth in the squad, which these two players definitely help provide. Maximilian Werber is a 20-year-old centre-back from Ajax who Sevilla have been following for quite some time. He has the Sevilla profile. He's versatile, agile, and good playing out from the back. He's also left-footed, which is a player type they've missed, so he should complement the squad very well. Munir, he has improved a lot during his time at Alaves last season. He has sharpened his game and is coming to Sevilla ready. You could almost say that Abelardo prepared him for Pablo Machin. Munir is a hard worker with some great technical qualities too, and he should definitely be able to offer Sevilla another threat in attack.
Thanks, Alex. Meanwhile, Sevilla are joined on 33 points by Real Madrid, who just about clinched victory by 2-1 at Real Betis on Sunday night. Significant for Madrid and particularly for Santi Solari, who changed system and shuffle personnel to deal with the possession-heavy challenge of Real Betis. Ironically, the teams actually switched formations. Betis lined up in a 4-3-3, while Madrid had a three-man defence and wing-backs. More than 50,000 fans at the Estadio Benito Villamarín witnessed a fascinating game throughout.
Real Madrid looking to play on the break. Benzema just checked his run, stayed level with the last man. Now attacking into Vieri and goes for goal. Drives it though into the body of Aissa Mandi. Comes back out to Modric, across to the far side of Vieri. Now the shot, and again it's Bartra. Now Modric, and Madrid have the lead. And Luka Modric just moved up a gear as the ball came back out to him. And he finds the top corner of the net. And Los Blancos lead. And there's a ball through for Canales. Flag stays down. And Real Betis are level. No, the flag's up. VAR will have a look at it.
So we're just waiting. So difficult to see from here, but it looks like Carvajal is keeping him on.
Again.
Well, that's how the goals went in on 11 Sports in the UK. And Madrid won this game, having had only 26% possession, their lowest for more than 7 years. And this was a big boost for Santi Solari's decision-making. His starting lineup included the likes of 20-year-old midfielder Fede Valverde and 22-year-old left-back Reguilón. And as for his substitutions, as well as match winner Dani Ceballos, well, Solari brought on 20-year-old Cristo González at half-time and new signing 19-year-old Brahim Diaz late on to join 18-year-old Vinicius Jr. on the pitch. That was their front three at the end, and the kids were more than all right. Another intriguing thing, Isco did not feature at all. Even with all the issues that Madrid had going into this match, Marcos Llorente, Marco Asensio, Toni Kroos, Gareth Bale injured, while Lucas Vazquez was suspended. The future for Isco doesn't look good at all. We'll see if that situation improves anytime soon. Now, this was our chosen game on Partidazo Predictions. It's a competition we have amongst the La Liga Lowdown squad. We run them as videos on our Twitter, which is at La Liga Lowdown, so go check that out. 3 points for the correct scoreline, one for the right result. Bakwalit's got it spot on with his 1-2 prediction. Ewan also predicted a Madrid win. So this is how it affects the overall table. Bakwal moves on to 19 points. Ewan up to 14. Everyone else stays where they were. I'm on 10, Roman 9, and Alex 7 points. Alaves are still flying high in the European places after drawing 1-1 at Girona. They had to come from behind to get something from Montilivi after an absolute wonder goal from Cristian Stuani, an overhead kick to take his La Liga tally for the season to 12. Alaves' equaliser arrived at the start of the second half, Borja Bastón firing past Bono from close range. 1-1, a fair result. It leaves Alaves fifth in the table after 19 matches, which is frankly a bit bonkers, but utterly deserved. Abelardo said that no Alaves fan could have imagined having 32 points halfway through the season, and that's totally true as well. As for Girona, well, they're safely tucked in mid-table, but they're winless in 5 in La Liga under El Serbio, and they're drawing a lot of games at the moment. So what does their half-term report look like? Back to Román Darquer for this one.
Girona can be pleased so far. Last season, everybody was really impressed with their achievements, and after their first 19 games, they'd managed 26 points. That's only 2 more than now with Eusebio. But let's keep in mind they're still among the teams with the lowest budget in the league, which means they weren't capable of completing extraordinary signings this summer, and they lost Pablo Machin, who was absolutely essential to the squad. This isn't an easy task for Eusebio, but he's getting results, even though many of those are draws. The problem is the standings are so compact. There's barely a 9-point difference between European positions and the relegation zone, so a few defeats can see the team drop from the top half to the bottom half of the table. But there still is room for improvement. Eusebio finally seems convinced about playing 3 at the back instead of 4, so more consistency there. And Porto, who had a poor start, is beginning to get back on track. That added to Stuani's unbeatable form should mean good news.
Cheers, Roman. That's it for part 1 of this podcast, but we switch our focus to the sharp end of the table in part 2, and that's coming up in a couple of ticks.
I'm I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to this La Liga Lowdown mini-pod with Redis Sakhanov and broadcast on SiriusXM FC 157 in North America. So five games down, five to go on match day 19. But before we get stuck into the relegation battle, let's focus on perhaps the most delicate manager's job at the time of recording, and that's at Valencia. Marcelino's team were again denied, held 1-1 by Real Valladolid for Valencia's 11th draw of the league campaign. The hosts had so many chances, it's untrue, but the goal did eventually come. Valencia captain Dani Parejo exchanging passes with Carlos Soler and then emphatically finishing past keeper Jordi Masip. Here's the thing though, Valencia simply cannot see out these games. The equaliser was a brilliant free kick from Ruben Alcaraz from 30 yards out. Neto, no chance. 1-1 the final score. It means that Valencia have just one win in six and yet again missed opportunities to blame for them not beating supposedly inferior opponents. Watching at Mestalla, La Liga Lowdown's Paco Polit.
It's actually amazing and a bit sad the way the game ended for Valencia. Once again, they enjoyed a handful of clear chances with Rodrigo Moreno's penalty missed and saved by Masip. Another incredible miss by Santi Mina. All in all, incredible chances to easily win this game, but they once again came away with only a single point. Fans weren't even angry, just disappointed and sad at the end of the game. And maybe that tells its own story. Many of the supporters here, the season ticket holders, have given up. Alcaraz, screamer of a goal, a total rocket, came when Valencia were finally deserving a win in front of their home crowd, and this result once again leaves Marcelino in a perilous position. The coach had been hugged by Parejo when the captain scored the opener and looked very nervous when his team saw the game leveled. His future doesn't look bright, and everyone here will be keeping their eyes peeled and ears to the ground for news from Valencia's board in the next few hours and days.
Well, Marcelino said that after the game he doesn't fear the sack, and the club can take that decision if they feel that he is to blame. Well, those words could come back to haunt him. To the scrap to avoid the drop then. Rayo Vallecano may have looked doomed a few weeks back, but they picked up a third straight win in a thoroughly entertaining game as they won 4-2 at home to Celta Vigo. One of the reasons they are still in with a chance of survival is the form of on-loan Real Madrid striker Raul de Tomas. He scored 8 goals in La Liga this season, all of them at Vallecas, and 3 on Friday night.
Moreno again. Square to the Tomas! And now about that one! De Tomas gets his hat-trick! It's an absolute scorcher from Raul de Tomas!
Bebe rounded off Real's victory after that to make it 3 straight defeats for Celta, but the visitors had been ahead in this game, so that's now 9 points they've dropped from winning positions. The Celta boss Miguel Cardoso criticised the state of the Vallecas pitch, calling it horrible and completely frozen, and there was a strange situation surrounding midfielder Fran Beltran. He was whistled by the Real fans whenever he touched the ball and then subbed off on 78 minutes. Beltran had been in the Real youth system, he'd helped them to promotion last season before signing for Celta last summer. He said cryptically afterwards that one day people will find out his real reasons for leaving Rayo, as well as who the bad guys and good guys were. To to the other Madrid-based team in need of a result to get them away from the danger zone, and that is Leganés. They welcome bottom side Huesca de Udarque and they beat them 1-0. Despite dominating and having clear-cut chances, they had to wait until the 75th minute to score their goal. Jonathan Silva swung in a ball from the left wing into the near post, where Youssef En-Nesyri connected with a low volley to finally beat the superb Roberto Santamaria and continue Leganés' excellent home form. Vital win for them, but Huesca failed to build on their comeback victory over Real Betis. Our Ewan McTeer was at Butarque.
The fans at Butarque have been leaving with smiles on their faces after yet another positive result at home. That's 16 points now that they've collected in front of their fans. If they can keep up that kind of form, then they should have a good chance in this relegation battle. Huesca, on the other hand, look sunk. They're anchored to the bottom of the table and didn't even come close to winning this match. I was really disappointed, actually, in the way they were time-wasting in the second half, with the score still locked at 0-0. They needed a win as much as Leganés did. There's not many positives for them. They're earning fewer points per match under new coach Francisco, 0.55 versus Leo Franco, 0.63, even if they do look a bit better. And the 4-1-4-1 system he's installed, with Damien Musto playing almost as a third centre-back, gives them a solid base. But they need goals, and Cucho Hernandez is so isolated up front. I really fear for them. I fear they'll be mathematically gone before we've all finished our Easter eggs.
Now, because of those wins for Rayo and Lega, at kickoff, Villarreal had slumped to second bottom, but they didn't help their survival hopes after losing at home to Getafe by 2-1. Jorge Molina's rasping strike for Getafe was cancelled out by an own goal from his teammate Leandro Cabrera, but the real drama came at the end. Angel deftly chipping Sergio Asenjo on 89 minutes after a quite brilliant Getafe breakaway, and Villarreal then hit the bar twice and the post once, plus Carl took Kwakambi was fouled and a penalty was given in stoppage time, which the Cameroonian missed badly. And what's worse is that apparently it should have been Santi Cazorla who took that spot kick. So Luis Garcia Plaza's record at Villarreal so far reads as follows: played 6, won 1, drawn 4, lost 1. Let's bring Paco Bolit back in to talk about the new man at the Estadio de la Cerámica. Paco, what has changed with Villarreal under Luis Garcia so far, if anything?
Actually, quite a lot has changed, even though the results don't back up the new ideas brought to the table by the new coach yet. Young players such as Samu Chukwueze are becoming much more important, but those players need guidance, and you don't get much better than a masterful veteran named Santi Cazorla. He wasn't fit at the beginning of the season after almost 3 years out injured, but Luis Garcia has kept him as one of the keystones of his team, and new signing Vicente Iborra's experience will also help anchor the midfield. However, two problems remain, and both were seen against Getafe. First of all, Villarreal keep defending very poorly. Just check out how easy it was for Jorge Molina to score the opener. And also, they keep missing chances when attacking, with one player the chief culprit, Gerard Moreno. Villarreal's record signing looks nothing, absolutely nothing like the player who scored 19 goals last season for Espanyol.
Cheers for that, Paco. Well, here's another chilling thought. In both of the two seasons when Villarreal got relegated to Segunda, they had more points after 19 matches than they do now. Two huge games coming up in La Liga before the month is out, at home to a resurgent Athletic Club and then away to Valencia in the derby. But slumps can be stopped, as Real Sociedad have proved. After four straight defeats, it's now back-to-back wins in La Liga under new boss Imanol Alguacil, and this latest one was hard fought, 3-2 against Espanyol in an entertaining Monday night game. They bolted out of the blocks with two goals in the first 8 minutes, Mikel Merino from close range and a Williams Jose penalty, but the home side switched off, their old problems resurfaced, and back came the visitors with an Aldo header and a Diego Llorente own goal just before half time. Merino and Williams Jose combined for the third for La Real before the Spanish midfielder got himself sent off for two yellow cards, but the hosts managed to see the game out. They showed a bit of steel to clinch only their second home league win of the season. So, Imanol has had an immediate impact at Anoeta, just like he did when he came in last season, winning 5 out of the final 9 games to drag La Real away from danger. Let's bring Alex Johnson back in here. So, Alex, what can we take from these last 3 games? What is Imanol's philosophy, and what are we expecting going forward?
Well, for me, the absolute biggest concern with La Real under Asier Garitano was the character. And it's still the main problem, but it's also where I've seen a change, especially in this last game. In previous encounters, they've been slow starters and struggled to get into gear, so maybe Manol can get his team fired up and focused early. They also found that extra gear at 2-2, something they couldn't do before, and this result will do wonders for the confidence of what is a very young squad. In terms of players, we've seen Mikel Merino start in the last few games when he'd previously been a sub. Left back Ian Munoz come in from the B team, and Lucas Sangalli is back too. They're all young, talented players, which aligns with Real Sociedad's overall philosophy of giving their youth product opportunities. Although, Imanol will have more options when his injured players return. As for the near future, Real Sociedad's next five opponents are all in the bottom half of the table, so this is the perfect time to build momentum, put a run together, and maybe even have a chance of qualifying for Europe next season.
Thanks, Alex. So here's how the table looks at the halfway stage. Barcelona top on 43 points, Atletico second on 38, Sevilla third and Real Madrid fourth, both on 33 points, with Alaves fifth on 32. At the bottom, Huesca have 11 points, Villarreal are second bottom on 17, Rayo are third bottom with 19 points, and just above the relegation zone are Celta with 21, and then there are five teams all on 22 points. Your three-word verdicts now before we go. You've been sending them to us on Twitter, so thank you for those. Charlie Barca starts us off. Coutinho did okay. I guess he did. Nick Turner has gone for bye-bye Isco. This from Brian Miller. Sevilla losing momentum. Hal 9000 JM's verdict is Alaves continue seriously. Cracking season for them so far. Matthew Clark says, at last Iñaki. Of course, referring to Iñaki Williams finally scoring at home for Athletic Club. This from Lavogez. Relegation battle shake-up. Yes, tight down there, isn't it? And Chris's three words are simply Raul de Tomas, the hat-trick hero for Rayo Vallecano. That's about it. But don't forget about our Twitter feed. We're growing all the time. We would love you to come hang out with us on social media. So come follow at La Liga Lowdown on Twitter. And do please keep giving us those generous five-star ratings and awesome reviews on this podcast. We are thrilled you listen whenever and wherever you are in the world. That's your La Liga Lowdown. We'll see you next time.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.